silent treatment is? I was reminded of that yesterday. Someone thought I was giving them the silent treatment, but I wasn't. Just wasn't in a talkative mood. Yes, I said that. I wasn't in a talkative mood. It happens. Growing up, there was one family. The mom was really good at the silent treatment. You knew when you were getting the silent treatment because there was other communication going on, nonverbal communication. But she would give the silent treatment no matter how much one of her kids would try and get her to speak. She would not speak. It was the silent treatment. And we don't like silence, particularly when it comes to being around people and communication. That's why we'll often say something kind of stupid to break the ice, to get rid of the awkward silence. We want to break that silence. We want to get communication going. We'll just say something. It's called an icebreaker. Usually it's out at your own expense. But we do that. And we dislike silence so much it can be used not only in the silent treatment in the family, but it can be used as part of punishment. In prison, they put inmates in solitary confinement. Now, it's not only the silent treatment, but that's a big part of it. No interaction with other people except they get their food. Been all kinds of studies done on the effects of that and how stressful it is and what it does to the person. We hate silence and we crave communication. Right? By the way, turn your cell phones off. Who doesn't have a cell phone these days? Most people who are walking around going like this. It's ironic, of course, because they're with someone and they're not communicating. But they're communicating with someone else as they look down at their cell phone and they're texting or snapping or chatting or tweeting or whatever they do, but it's a communication, right? I'm with my cell phone. I mean, we feel lost without it. And, oh, heaven forbid if you text someone and they don't get right back to you. Because you know they have the phone with them. So they're not answering. Are they giving you the silent treatment? And some people, I don't. And to let you know that, I don't sleep with my cell phone on. It goes into silent mode, leave me alone mode. You get to bang on my door really hard if you need me. That's not true. The landline's on. Yes, we still have a landline because we crave communication. And people can get a hold of me that way if it's the middle of the night. But we crave it. We long for it. Even though we're pretty bad at it. And sometimes we want to not talk to anyone and go be alone. Because the communication's a mess, because we're a mess. But still, we long for it. And people long for it so much. All kinds of resources and energy and time are spent trying to listen to out there. Are there any messages? There's an internet-based public volunteer computing project called SETI at Home. And it uses some software, and it's hosted by the Space Sciences Laboratory at the University of California. Berkeley, nearby, you know. Its purpose is to analyze radio signals, searching for signs of extraterrestrial intelligence. They want communication. If there's someone else, something else, if there's other intelligent life out there, we want to hear from it. Well, there is. Not created life, but the creator of life is out there. He's actually here too. And thanks to him, he doesn't give the silent treatment. Christmas is the greatest, ultimate example of God communicating. Christmas is God not being silent. I'm not picking on the song Silent Night. It's ironic. But that night was anything but silent. As it was read for us earlier in Luke, the angels are declaring things from the sky, and they're singing, and then the shepherds go, and they go to where the baby is born, and they tell them who are there what the angels told them. It was anything but silent. And yet, the real communication was that baby. That baby, Jesus, was God speaking. And still is God speaking. The ultimate and the perfect example of God communicating. No silent treatment. Not at all. And no guessing involved as to what He's saying. No message that you get and then you decode it. That makes a good science fiction movie. It's not reality. The very communication that we truly and ultimately crave to know where do we come from? How do we get here? Why are we here? Who made us? Can be known. And has been made loud and clear through the birth of that one we celebrate today. You know, it's interesting, those who are listening for messages from out there, they bypass the issue of origination, of creation, of being, by coming up with theories. Some do theories of that there's higher life form that started Earth. But where did they come from? Now, I'm not saying they exist, but in that theory, where did they come from? It doesn't answer the question. But there's that longing to know. And God has made that. He has made Himself known if we will hear, if we will listen. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews. Yeah, not Matthew, Mark, or Luke, not one of the Gospels, but to Hebrews chapter 1, the first four verses, which clearly declares that God has spoken. And we will see the way in which He has spoken and how the way in which He has spoken is the ultimate and perfect communication. Hebrews chapter 1, first four verses. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. This whole passage is about the fact that God is not silent. He has not been silent. He has spoken at many times, in many ways, by the prophets. You know what a prophet is? Messenger. Mouthpiece. A human messenger speaking God's word. That's pretty good. Even if it has to come through Joe, that'd be wonderful to hear from God. And God did that. His name wasn't Joe. I don't think there's any prophets named Joe. But He had many human messengers. Not only did He have human messengers, verse 4 ends with bringing in angels. What are angels? Heavenly messengers. Matter of fact, the word for angel can be translated messenger. There are some places where that word is used, and it doesn't mean heavenly messengers. It simply means earthly messenger. These four verses, this whole first section here, is all about the fact that God is not silent. He has not been silent. He has spoken. He has communicated. And now, greater than the human messengers, greater than heavenly messengers, He has spoken by His Son. See, this is a Christmas passage. The birth of Jesus is God speaking. And He, the Son, Jesus, is God's ultimate and perfect communication. And we see here why in this passage. The book of Hebrews is full of contrasts. Jesus, you saw from verse 4, and if we were to keep reading, Jesus versus angels, Jesus is greater. Jesus versus Moses, who was a prophet and delivered God's word to God's people, Jesus is greater. Jesus versus Aaron, the high priest, Jesus is greater. The tabernacle that Jesus is now in versus the tabernacle on earth, Jesus is greater. And the focus is continually upon what we can now know through Jesus that was only known in part and in promise in times past. That's what's going on in the book of Hebrews. It's actually a letter, we call it a book. It was probably originally a sermon, actually. And here's why Jesus, the Son of God, is the ultimate and perfect communication by God. He is the heir, verse 2, of all things. You know what an heir is? The one who inherits, the one to whom all things belong? It's Him. It's His. That baby, who grew up to be a man, Son of God, Son of Man, is heir to all things. He owns them. They're His. I used to take the kids, when I was working at the camp in Alaska, I would take the kids up for a hike. We'd go up to this beautiful point and look out, and it's beautiful. There's a lake and there's mountains and there's no houses where we were looking. And I said, isn't this beautiful? God made it for you. That was heresy. That was false. That's not true. That's called collateral blessing. It's the Son's. Belongs to Him. Not only is He heir of all things, but He created the world. The world was created through Him. In Colossians it says it was created by Him, through Him, and for Him. You say, well, I thought in the beginning God created. Yes. Remember the Spirit was hovering? And God said, so in the beginning you have God the Father, you have God's Word, and you have the Spirit, and what is the Son here? God has spoken. He's not just the one to whom all things are beholden. It is not just that He owns all things, but all things came about through Him. And then in verse 3, He is the radiance of the glory of God. He delivers. He communicates. I don't want to use that word again, but I need to. He communicates. This is not simply reflection. He brings the glory of God from one place to another, that the beauty and the majesty of God can be beheld. Like, not exactly like, but like walking outside and lifting up your face and feeling the warmth of the sun as it radiates towards you. Now, you're not actually on the sun, and the sun's not on you, otherwise you wouldn't be enjoying it. But it's being brought to you. It's radiating to you. That's what the sun does. The very beauty and majesty of God is brought forth by the sun. S-O-N. But see, the sun beams are not the sun, are they? No. But this Son is one with the one whom He radiates. What does it say next? And the exact imprint of His nature. The exact imprint of His nature, or essence, or being. To behold the Son, S-O-N, is to behold the Father. Disciples said to Him, when he was still on earth, show us the Father. And he says, if you see me, you see the Father. To know me is to know the Father. And to those who are rejecting him, to reject me is to reject the one who sent me. It's one and the same. That's why I said the sun in the sky, the S-U-N, and the sunbeam analogy was a little bit like, but it falls short. Because he is more than that. He is more than a human messenger, though he's fully human. He is more than someone who gets all things. He is the one through whom all things were made. He is more than the one who radiates or expresses or communicates the beauty and the majesty of God. He himself is God. One and the same essence with the God. Same nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. That sun in the sky is still there because this sun says so. The beauty of Alaska or anywhere else, our own Sierras, the ocean, our hills around here, or a delicate little flower, the Milky Way, all of it, whatever. It's his. It was made through him, and he upholds it. He keeps it going. That's not all. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He sat down because he was done. Though he be all that, he made purification for sins. He provided for the cleansing and the forgiveness and the clearing of guilt through his own life. And it was a perfect, it was a complete, it was a final, once and for all offering. Unlike the other priests who had to keep doing it over and over again, he sat down when he was done because he was done. And he sat down on his throne. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high because he is the King. We celebrate his birth, but what did they do with his death? They put a plaque over him. Hail, King of the Jews. Ha 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 ha. Actually, he is. And the soldiers beat him. Ha ha, hail, King of the Jews. He actually is. I read all those passages from Isaiah earlier. Oh, a virgin shall give birth and the government shall be on his shoulders and wonderful counselor and peace. I love it. You got to keep reading. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. That sins could be forgiven. That's what the Son did. That's who the Son is. More than a mirror directing light, that's a reflection. He is the light. He is God. Who better to make known God than God? And there's no analogy to come up with here. The sunbeams are not actually the sun. If a landlord sends his own son to some people, that's better than sending people who aren't his son, but the son is not the father in human reality. They're not one and the same. But this son is. And so, he, having become as much superior to angels as an enemy is, inherited is more excellent than theirs. He's greater than the heavenly messengers. Though, while he was a man, it was questionable. It was questionable. While he was a man, will he be greater than the angels or not? There's a tension there. The angels are sinless. As a man, he could sin. And as Hebrews goes on to tell us, he was tempted, but did not sin. And though he died, he was raised and seated at the Father's right hand. It was his vindication. No, he really is my son. And what did the Father say at the baptism and the transfiguration? Said the same thing. This is my Son. Listen to him. That's just the first four verses of Hebrews. And what is it saying? It's saying that God has spoken and is still speaking through His Son. Otherwise, there'd be no point to write this letter. But in the explanation of who the Son is and what the Son has done, the Father is still speaking. And the Father can still be known. And the exhortation, the command, the application, the call that comes up again and again and again in the book of Hebrews says this: today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And again, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. We celebrate the birth of Christ, Jesus, the Son of God. What we're celebrating is that God is not silent. He has spoken. The question is, are you listening to Him? Are you listening? Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. That child will grow to be a man, and that man will say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How could He do that? And He will say to the man, take up your mat and walk because your sins are forgiven. How could He do that? Well, we live not only after His birth, but after His death on a cross, where He made purification for sins. Verse 3. That is Jesus. If you have heard Him, if you do know Him, if you are celebrating Christmas as a Christian, celebrate every day that because of Christmas, God is not silent. That does not mean that your health issues are going to go away, or you're going to get a job, or your family is going to turn out all right, or whatever. It doesn't mean the earthly trials and difficulties and the suffering that is here, now, because of sin, is going to be gone. And life will be pie in the sky. But know this, you are not alone. And though your spouse or your family or your co-workers don't understand you and don't know you, God does. Because He knit you in the womb. He knows you. Every hair on your head. And He is not up there like some clockmaker, as the old saying goes, who created the earth and let it go and let's see what happens. Silent, leaving us to wander around and wonder. No, He does let us rebel, yes. But there is no need for ignorance, for lack of knowledge of God because of Christmas. Because His Son has come. And what the prophet said in part, what the prophet said that were in promise, what the prophet said that was pointing forward, the Son fulfills and completes. Jesus is the ultimate and perfect expression of communication coming from God. He is not silent. He has spoken. And if you are a Christian, that is grounds for rejoicing every single day and not just on Christmas, but yes, on Christmas. You hate when someone's giving you the silent treatment. People aren't talking to you. Right? What's the school kid's biggest fear? Lunch. Who am I going to sit with? Am I going to be all alone? Will anyone talk to me? And adults go through the same thing, by the way, kids. They worry about that too. Someone did talk to me. Someone didn't talk to me. It's always about that. They always make it about themselves. What's amazing is God stooped down. Condescended. You know what that means? Condescending, we use it as a negative term, like, you know, you're a little nothing. That's condescending. No, God did this. I'm up here right now so you can see me and hear me. But God did this so you could see Him and hear Him. He did this so you could see Him and hear Him. You can't get any lower than becoming one with your creation that they would know you. That is exactly what Christmas is. So snap out of it, Christians. When all you can see is your pains or pleasures, trials, discomforts, what you don't have, what you want to have, what you wish you would have or wouldn't have. And know that God has spoken to you. And He's gone to the nth degree to do that. Wherever you are, in Siberia, in a gulag, in North Korea, in Venezuela, as a Christian, whatever you're facing, whatever pit, literal or figurative, you may be in, You're not getting the silent treatment from God. But keep listening to Him. This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. Keep listening. Whether you're Christian or not, whether you're a Christian and you haven't been listening or you're not a Christian, He says this, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. I have spoken. Hear me. This is my Son. Believe in Him. Know my forgiveness, my love, my cleansing. And you can call me Father now too. By all means, sing Silent Night, but it was not a silent night. Every time you are waiting for a text or give a text, think about communication and realize Christmas is God communicating. No silence from Him. Do you know that? Do you know Him? Are you listening to Him? Join me in prayer. Father, there is no greater good than You. There is no greater blessing, joy, privilege, delight than to know You. And the less we have to struggle for mere survival, the more we, people, long to hear what's out there to know more. I know people in North Korea are not using their computers and linking together to try and hear extraterrestrial radio messages because they don't even have lights. But Father, our challenge here is just that. We have lights and we have computers. We are not struggling for mere survival. Yet whatever situation we find ourselves in, Father, confess that our tendency is simply to just not listen to You. We'll even turn Christmas into a guy in a red suit and all kinds of other things just so what You are saying is blurred, covered over. Father, open our ears, our hearts, our eyes. You have spoken. Thank You. No need to wonder or wander in the darkness. Grant that we would hear, that we would listen, keep on listening, and rejoice day in and day out that come what may, You haven't given us the silent treatment. You communicated perfectly, loud and clear, and Your Son, who did not remain in heaven, but came to be one of us, that we could be one with Him and one with You. Thank You, Father, for Christmas, for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You for speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen.